Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 12th of January, 2022. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Kelly. How are you doing today?
Not bad. How about you?
I'm moving and grooving.
All right. Glad to hear it. Also moving and grooving today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going? I'm here again. This is weird.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to need a new team name if I have you and Jeff do the show regularly. Since you were part of Team Nightmare yesterday, I got to figure out what to call you and Jeff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll work on that. If you have suggestions, you can send them to observations@macobserver.com. Jeff, I'd actually like to start with you because you have this interesting article, and I really just sort of want to PSA it for people, give everyone a public service announcement about something that's generating a lot of headlines that doesn't necessarily need
right
all the sorts of breathless coverage that it's currently getting.
It is still a melon farm. Everybody blew up saying that T-Mobile was blocking iCloud Private Relay. They're not. It's a bug in iOS 15.2
okay.
and in the current beta of iOS 15.3. And I do outline how to work around it. You just have to disconnect from your Wi-Fi network, make sure you're connected to your cellular network, and then go to settings, cellular data options, and make sure limit IP address tracking is turned on, and then iCloud Private Relay should work for you.
Okay. So that's the workaround if you are having an issue with a beta feature that Apple is slowly rolling out.
Right. Because once again, this is still a melon farming beta.
Okay. So Private Relay, you may remember, is something that we've discussed briefly. We talked about it when it was announced, as this is kind of what it is and what it will do. And it's basically giving you VPN traffic for Safari. Does that sound about right, Andrew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we've dug into this on Security Friday a couple of times, I think. So,
And to be fair, I think part of the reason that there might be some confusion on this is because this may be the first time that Apple has kept a feature of iOS in beta, even after the beta program for that version was done.
Right.
Yeah. I think this is the first beta feature Apple has rolled out that wasn't just part of a beta operating system, I think is probably
right.
Like the way to right. think about that. So, yeah.
It is.
And I would like to point out that this is a beta in the actual under the actual definition of the term beta, and not Google's definition of the term beta, which was like, we're just going to say beta on it. And then if it breaks, we just sort of shrug our shoulders and go, it's beta. What are you going to do? Because I think Gmail might still be in beta. I don't remember anymore. But it's definitely a thing that that used to happen a lot, where like beta was just sort of, we're going to just keep calling it beta. So if it breaks, what are you going to do? But that's not the case with this. It's actually something that is rolling out slowly because it's a beta, so it can get refined so that things are working correctly. And as Jeff said, there's a workaround, and we've got it outlined in his piece so that we can talk about it. So that you have the answer that you need in case this is a thing that you are trying to use. Just be aware that it might be a little bit, you might bump up against a rough edge or two, particularly if you're on T-Mobile, and there's a fix. And you can go read it in Jeff's article at macobserver.com to make sure that you have all the steps correct. And then it works, right, Jeff? Like,
yep.
That's the magic.
Well, there is a caveat to this.
Okay.
Which is, if... let's say you're a 14-year-old kid with an iPhone and your parents have parental controls turned on your line within their T-Mobile account. Private Relay will not work for you.
Okay. That's good to know.
So, there's a couple other instances where it won't work, and those are also outlined in my article.
All righty. Good to know. And I guess topically, while we were talking about example kids with iPhones, it sounds like maybe if you are a teenager that doesn't have an iPhone, your friends are making an example out of you.
Oh, man. And this is so wrong. But yeah, go on.
So, Andrew, I think you had that was something that you wrote up, which was the survey about teens in the U.S. who own an iPhone.
Right. My bad. This is me now. Last week, I wrote about a survey done by Piper Sandler. They are an investment bank. They conducted the survey last fall.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 teenagers in the U.S. were surveyed across 44 states, and it wasn't a survey that was Apple focused.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of business marketing related questions, like, you know, which brands are their favorite and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But the part of it that I focused on was they said 87% of teens in the U.S. now own an iPhone, and 88% expect an iPhone to be their next phone. So that's a big number. Like, Apple is really popular with the young people.
Yeah.
And you kind of also have to wonder about the other 13%, because, mm-hmm. you know, a pretty popular thing that we've heard before is, you know, the blue messages versus the green messages.
Yep.
And that 13% is left out of iMessage chats, for example.
Yeah, which is definitely a thing. And we're going to talk about those green bubbles in a moment. But first, I'd like to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, which is Thesis. So it's January, and you've probably started a new routine or attempted to start a new routine. And maybe you're even just trying to make sure that the old one is working for you. And Thesis can help you follow through in 2022. Thesis makes personalized supplement formulas based on the science of nootropics, which are natural and powerful ingredients. So you take their 3-minute online quiz, and then Thesis will recommend nootropic formulas that are customized for you. I've been trying them, and it's been super helpful with juggling all the things that have to happen in a day. Over 60,000 busy professionals and even busier parents have used Thesis for better results, and you can too. Right now, Thesis is offering our listeners 10% off the first starter kit when you visit takethesis.com/TDO. Go to takethesis.com/TDO, take the quiz, discover your unique nootropic combination, and you can save 10% on your first starter kit. That's takethesis.com/TDO. Make sure to use that URL to let them know we sent you. And I'd like to thank Thesis for sponsoring the show today. So let's talk a little bit about those green bubbles, because apparently it's bad for you to be a teenager with an Android phone. And if it is, there's something else that we should be doing instead, right?
Yeah. Andrew, you want to start this?
Sure. So, over, I think it was just this past weekend, someone from Google, he's the senior vice president, Hiroshi Lockheimer, he took to Twitter to say some things about iMessage, because, as we said, iPhones are very popular with the teens, and when you send an iMessage to another iPhone, it's a blue text, and you get all these special features. But Mr. Lockheimer was saying a quote, so this is an article from Ars Technica. He said, well, this is through the official Android Twitter account. So they said, iMessage should not benefit from bullying. And then texting should bring us together. There is a solution. Let's fix this. Apple's iMessage is the lock-in is a documented strategy. So what Google has been trying to push for, I think it's a few years now, it is the standard that is about 14 years old now. It's called RCS. It stands for Rich Communication Services.
Okay.
And it's meant to be an upgrade to our current SMS system, which is very old, probably 30 years old, as old as I am. And Google is trying to they want Apple to include the RCS standard in their iMessage system. So far, Apple, I don't think they've really said anything publicly about it, but so far they haven't been doing that, and Google apparently isn't happy about that.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, you dug into this some over at Hot Hardware and kind of broke this down. And so what part of what I want to know about it is, like, RCS is just a different messaging platform, sort of like SMS is or MMS is that we use already, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
In technical terms, SMS and RCS are both standard protocols.
Okay.
SMS is what cellular carriers have been using ever since text messaging began.
Mm-hmm.
RCS is a newer protocol, but it's still, as like Andrew said, it's 14 years old. Mm-hmm. It extends what text messaging is capable of. It adds a lot of the features that iMessage already has, but it also lacks some of the features that iMessages includes, such as encryption.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. RCS as a protocol does not offer any sort of end-to-end encryption. On Android, Google has gotten around this by basically wrapping its RCS messaging in end-to-end encryption, but that only works for one-on-one messages. It doesn't work for group messages like we see in iMessage.
Okay. That seems incompatible then with exactly what Apple is doing with messages.
it is. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I don't think it's right that I don't think teenagers should be bullying each other over anything, especially something as silly as what kind of phone you're using.
Mm-hmm.
True.
But I don't see how that's...
But teenagers.
Yeah.
And that's the best I can do. And I know that sounds, vague, but that's kind of... bullying
teenagers.
Is also a very different thing from, general teasing, which is something that also happens a lot. Like, do your parents not love you anymore? Is that why you have an Android phone? That may be just somebody making fun or whatever.
It depends on how serious it gets.
Well, context is key. Correct. Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal looked into this, and they found that there are cases where, teenagers will actually be ostracized when they switch from iPhone to Android, like completely locked out of their cliques. And I don't agree with that. I think it's complete crap. And Lockheimer has a point that, maybe Apple shouldn't be fostering this or even silently fostering it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean do away with iMessages.
Yeah. I think there's a middle ground. Like, there's probably a better solution than the one being proposed and the one we have now. I feel like there's likely a middle ground with this that you could use. If everyone's using WhatsApp anyway, or whatever, nobody knows what phone you have on the internet. On the internet, nobody knows that it's Android, right? That's how that goes. That saying goes.
Yeah. Okay. we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of,
I think we lost.
It's
there. We go. Jeff, you're back.
I can maybe jump in and just say, while Jeff is sorting that out,
yeah,
I'm sure we all know this as Apple users, but I think it's good to just say it out loud, the, like, what are teenagers bullying each other about? And of course, you know, if you have an Android person in an iMessage group, there are some iMessage features that break or don't work correctly.
Right.
For example, you know, one iMessage feature is you can long press on a message with different reactions, like you want to give it a thumbs up or a heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And iPhone users see the symbol, but if an Android user is in that group, it will literally say Andrew Orr liked this, or Andrew yeah. Orr hearted this, for example.
Yeah. Laughed at your message, yeah. You know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there may be a way that Apple could adopt, you know, could roll in Android's RCS features into iMessage without ditching iMessage altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the reason that the teenagers are really griping about the green bubble. It isn't because the bubble is green. It's because
now stuff's broken.
Now stuff is broken.
Or at mm-hmm. least doesn't yeah. work the way it did before one of the bubbles turned green.
Right.
So
yeah.
Right. That's part of the issue. But I will also point out, when I was a teenager, you were bullied for the shoes that you were wearing. So people would make relentless fun of you for, not having a pair of Air Jordans or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
There's, you know, yeah, when you live in Oregon, and you don't wear Nikes, there are people who consider you a traitor. And that was the thing that happened at my high school. And okay. there are, and you know, like lots of other things that are sort of that kind of fall in the same category of a brand loyalty thing. Like, I understand this is a little bit more specific, but, if you don't have the right label on your shirt or the right shoes on or the right haircut, like that's always like, as far back as I can remember, that's always been a thing that has sort of given some people the opportunity to make fun of other people. And, you know, I've got a spoiler alert for all of the young people listening to this podcast, because I'm sure there are tons of them, right? That doesn't change when you get older. It's still very much the high school cafeteria, you know, well into adulthood and even, uh-huh. you know, beyond. Like, so you're kind of always going to have a little piece of that you will probably have to deal with. So, I'm not here to do the psychological observer today, but just as a point to make, like, if we eliminate this thing that people are having trouble with, you know, with teenagers and Android phones and messaging, like, there will just be something else that they're using to pick on somebody about. Like, that's the piece that has not changed and likely will not change in a lot of places, in a lot of contexts. So
immaturity will always be immaturity, you know.
Yes.
More than four decades into my life, I still have peers take stabs at my last name.
Yep. Yep. And yeah. So it's not like it's new. And it's not like if Apple were to adopt this or, you know, move to some sort of new messaging platform where this was no longer an issue and you could make everybody's bubbles purple and, you know, it wouldn't matter what phone you had. That's not going to change anything. Like, there's the kids that are getting picked on right. are probably still going to get picked on. So that's not going to be, you know, that's not really going to be any different. So, it's an interesting idea though, that it might be possible to make the experience a better experience technologically, whether or not anybody's getting picked on. Like it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing that maybe could happen and that would be great. So, yeah. You know, I'd like if it did, mostly because it would be nice to, like you were talking about, Andrew, from a technological standpoint, like have those messages be reasonable and not, you know, Andrew laughed at your message, which is just a weird yeah. sort of like commentary to have in the middle of a message thread. But, you know, I'm still grumpy that they're bubbles and take up way too much real estate on the screen anyway, when that could be a much nicer and more compact experience. So I'm maybe not the best person to ask anyway.
Just get a bigger screen.
Yeah, that's not happening, and that'll be a whole conversation when we spin up the Pocket Observer daily right. pants wearing podcast, and I just complain about how no phone fits in my pants, and that's terrible. But until then, this has been Daily Observations for today. I'd like to thank Jeff and Andrew for coming by. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.